Greetings in the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem, carrying on in the paradise of the Lord. Chapter 60. Eternal living water. Scripture. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John 7:38. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while I am with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed amongst the Gentiles, and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he has said, Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. John 7, verses 33 to 43. And after they held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God, at the first, did visit the Gentiles, to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return, and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Acts 15, verses 13 to 18. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. And he saith unto me, These things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 to 7, and scriptures. Two visions. First vision. Outside the walls of the city, I saw the corporate expression of the company of those who would overcome, all as one man. And all of them were impaled together as one man upon a cross. The cross was set outside of the city, for nothing unholy or unclean can enter the city of the Lord. As I was beholding the crucifixion of this one who desired only the Lord and his fullness, I was elevated to a height wherein I could view the inner parts of the city, the river of the waters of life, and the tree of life in the midst of the city. As I beheld these two scenes together, I could see that as the one man expired upon the cross outside the city, so the fruit on the branches of the tree of life blossomed and increased and came to life on all the branches of that tree inside the city. To the extent that the one man outside the city died, so did life increase on the tree of life in the midst of the paradise of God, of the Lord. And first vision. Second vision. I beheld then in the midst of the paradise of the Lord Jesus Christ stand as the fount, the head of living waters. Out from him flowed forth the mighty river of the waters of life. Unbounded and ceaseless and powerful was the flowing of these waters. The waters flowed down through the heaven of the Lord, down through the cosmos, the creation, then the earth. Down flowed these waters in a never-ending supply, bountiful, crystal clear, filled with the life of the resurrected Lord. He is alive forevermore. These waters flowed then to the soils of the earth and to every nation and every people, kindred and tongue. To each individual flowed then these waters of life from the midst of the paradise of the Lord, from Jesus, who stood as the fount of living waters. And this flowing was not just a thing that is to come. I saw that the waters flowed in time as well. They flowed down through each generation, each nation, each kindred and tongue, right back to the Eden of the Lord, where Adam once stood. Even there, even to there, did the waters flow. And I beheld with awe that each and every nation and kindred and tongue came into the flowing of these waters. And each one, walking up through the current, came unto the living Christ in the midst of the paradise of the Lord. There was not one soul that did not come up into the midst of paradise unto the Savior and unto eternal life. No one was left out of the flow of living waters, and no one was left out of the paradise of the Lord. From every period in history and throughout and through all generations, each one in order, all came into the kingdom of God by way of the living waters, which waters were Jesus himself. End vision. End two visions. The disciples did not realize that when Jesus stated he would be returning to the Father, that it would be through death and resurrection, through Calvary and the cross, the tomb, and then being approved of God, raised again for our justification. His return unto the Father was only done by the passion by which he suffered. Yet it was because of that passion and because of that atonement made everything Christ spoke in the Gospels was proven and made sure and declared as truth. The entire world then changed to know that a Savior did indeed exist and that salvation was part of the workings of the Lord through the blood of that atonement. However, man still had a free will, a will not subject to any bondage. Even if they were in slavery, they could still think for themselves. As a result, men could choose to believe or not believe in this atonement. They could accept or not accept the love of God shown through the life of Jesus. The revelation of Jesus returning to the Father was something that would only be carnal knowledge, not an actual experience as one who was born of the Spirit or baptized in the Spirit. Men had left out the fact that free will can never know these precious truths. This is part of the mystery of iniquity. But when the Lord, in his great and infinite love, made himself known to a man or woman, they would come into the hope of the gospel and into the faith that knows no option of free will, but rather of pure faith, an abandonment to that faith, and a faith that is coupled with hope. Pure faith, an abandonment to that faith, and a faith that is coupled with hope. In this present time, the Lord is doing a work of separation, not unifying, but taking one from here and one from there, and is separating them unto himself, but also unto a greater work of the cross in their lives. Those who are being thus separated find themselves apart from all others, it seems. Fellowships are few and far between, and the life of the Lord in them is not easily seen by others because of this solitude. It seems that every time we advance in a new area of understanding or revelation, that the result is we become more fitted for the cross. I've learned that there is a difference between being separated unto the Lord and being separated from others due to divisions and character disputes. Although each one wants the best the Lord has for them, conflicts continue, and dissension is often suffered by those who truly want the same thing. Yet at the same time, there is a group, a small number, who know that their walk in the Lord is based upon his timing, and that when it is his time, a perfect unity will come, not just in spirit, but of sideways fellowships. We have not seen perfect unity since the early church, but we will see this again. My personal belief is that we will see a dynamo of the Spirit of the Lord move very suddenly, very quickly, and it will be very much a surprise. The Lord is going to speak to his body and unify them in his purpose, and the divisions of one from another will end, I believe, in a single moment. The love of the Lord in us will be the part of our lives which will be seen by all those round about. The manifestation of the sons and daughters of the Lord will be an act of pure love by the Lord, not an act of escapism or exalting of some out of the masses of humanity, but the pure love of the Lord seen in a glorified people who will remove death from off this creation. A warning, however, is needed for this time also. We live in a time prior to the coming of the Lord, while the separation is taking place, that is in fact quite dangerous. The danger of our time is that we would be taken away from the cross. The time we are in, because it is so lukewarm, is a time when the cross would be removed from you, and you would be given what I term an identity out of time. In other words, there are some who walk in an identity with the Lord that may be true in doctrine, but not true in timing. Doctrine, timing. Doctrine, timing. This is very vital for this hour, and my warning is very sure about this. You may be one in the person of the living Christ, raised with him, but to state thus when the cross has not yet done its full work in you would be an identity out of time. Whether you can hear this or not, it is still truth that the cross is still to work in us till he comes. Full identity in Christ, or knowing who you are in Christ, cannot happen until he appears in you. Until that happens, you will still be subject to this duality, and your life will still be taken in part measures in and out of spiritual existence. Again, your life will still be taken in part measures in and out of spiritual existence. You will not be fully in spirit at all times, nor will you be fully in flesh at all times. This duality will exist. The cross will work, and you will have to live in a continual denial of self till he comes. You will still have to live in this world, being faithful to your responsibilities and endeavoring with the grace of the Lord to come into a greater expression of daily worship and praise and prayer. Your identity is still being worked out. It is not as it is now, but as it will be, that one must be cautious of. There are some who claim an identity in the Lord that is not valid, and it is an identity that will be, but is not yet. When an imbalance is in the life of an overcomer, it is usually based on an identity that may be true in doctrine, but not true in experience. The need is to examine ourselves when we come to the table of the Lord. The Lord is requiring each one of us to come to his table at this time to partake of the wine and the bread, to examine our lives to see if we have a true identity as relates to faith and who we are and who we believe we will be. There are some who claim that they are only in Christ as new creations. We agree. But that doctrine falls to the ground when it is not balanced with the fact that the carnal nature also exists in you. I have seen this imbalance cause division in the company of overcomers like nothing else. There are those who so identify themselves with the living Christ as one with him that they no longer have any thought of guarding their spiritual walk from those things which would influence their carnal nature. Principality and powers and the spirits of wickedness in high places love to cover themselves up and hide completely from the thoughts and minds of those who are out of sync when it comes to declaring their true identity in the Lord. The place where this fall happens is that the guards are not in place to discern carnality and the workings of flesh or perdition, which may imitate the true. The armor of righteousness is forsaken in this kind of thinking, and one thus deluded opens themselves up to every deceptive thing out there that one would delude one into the thought of equality with the risen Lord. This equality with the risen Lord is what Lucifer attempted to do when he exalted himself up to the height of the Lord. I believe Lucifer to be our carnal nature. Again, I believe Lucifer to be our carnal nature. I do not believe Lucifer to be Satan like churchendom does. That's our carnal nature. Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14 says, "For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. In the sides of the north, I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." I have heard some in the Overcoming Company and some of the ministry therein state that they are the Christ. that to see them is to see the living Christ. When Jesus sat down on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him and asked him when these things would be. The end of the world, end of judgment, and so on. The very first thing that Christ declared was that there would be deceivers who would come saying, they are the Christ. That was the very first warning Jesus gave. And I have listened to current ministry in our time here and heard those very proclamations. The next part is also very interesting. When a deceptive ministry makes this declaration, the people who listen to them then declare that they cannot know their place in Christ unless they submit to that ministry. It amazes me to see this happen again and again. Hear this, dear reader. You can only be identified with Christ as relates to the suffering of your own personal cross daily, and then day by day for that cross to continue. It is a daily identity, not just with the risen Lord, but with his passion. For you to come to the Lord's table to examine yourself means that you must do so while you deny yourself daily and take up your cross. To claim an identity otherwise will not merit itself with the Lord. As you do, abide faithful to take up your cross daily and to follow the Lord in both his passion and his will. You will have the strength. You will have the patience. You will have the grace needed to daily overcome all things. This is a work in progress, not yet done. But as you do slowly expire to your own carnality upon this cross, the tree of life in the midst of your soul will blossom and will bud forth fruits in their respective seasons. This budding forth of the fruit of the Spirit in your life will not be hampered in any way when you abide faithful to this daily worked out process. And it is by this fruit that you will be cleansed and delivered unto a greater and more stable walk in the Spirit. To claim otherwise is assumption, not faith, and it will not stand up to the tests that are soon to come in this world. Not only then does the cross work to cancel out your carnality, but it does two more things. The cross working in your daily trials and testings will give you the standard of holiness and dignity as a priest of the Lord to intercede on behalf of mankind, not just for their salvation, but for the coming judgments that are about to shake this world. Your suffering becomes an act of intercession, a realm of prayer and travail that intercedes for the peoples of the world who know not the full measure of the love of God. This intercession is the very same thing as the fount of living waters, the waters of life that would flow in a ceaseless measure out of your belly, are a spiritual answer to a physical world. You cannot have flowing from you these living waters if the cross is not at work in you, producing this life of the Spirit. A life impaled as flowing from the belly these waters, not from hands that can grasp or work, or feet that can walk and move, but from an impaled vessel of his choosing, one who is crucified, and from the central core of their being flows the life of the living Christ. It is your center that holds the waters, and the cross bursts this dam so that these waters can flow freely with no restraint. As the spear caused the water and blood to flow from Jesus' pierced side, so too shall this water and blood flow from you, his life, and his unmeasured spirit. The second thing the cross does is it finalizes your identity with Christ when it has done its worst. In other words, when the cross has come to you in a trial that has taken years, decades to work out in you, years of preparation and patience, waiting for the promise of his appearing, that cross, dear reader, is the true cross of identity. It seems very strongly that there are some who are presently experiencing this particular cross, the cross of a long drawn out life, a life that has gone many a mile, a life that has seen many a day, many years, and much tribulation, a life imprisoned and held captive by the same daily circumstance, day in and day out, year by year. It is a slow progression of crucifixion that is the keystone to your true identity. For one who is thus exercised upon this cross is one who has learned that physical movement is impossible, that the length of a test is the building of your godly character. Again, the length of a test is the building of your godly character. This cross can come to you as a bodily flaw, a mental flaw, a realm of self-disgust, a place of ineptitude which can only be seen as self-disgust. This cross is a crucial cross. It is a cross you cannot escape from, even though it is years in the making. One does not become an overcomer overnight. It takes years and years of cross-bearing to become this one who would triumph and overcome all things. No instant solutions, no instant deliverances, no instant prosperity doctrines to deliver you into a self-sufficient state. The cross works over the years of your life to make you weak and to discomfit you from having anything of your own to stand upon. Your life then loses all identity with who you were, so that the Lord can raise again your true person as you were created. For the Lord's purpose is to use you as a living stone, one of his particular choosing, but created anew when the cross has completed its work in you, that you will show forth the praises of your Creator by being who you are when your carnality is finally, fully overcome. That is what this cross is doing. It is removing from you your carnal nature, the Lucifer part, your carnal nature. The cross then becomes to you the measure of the Lord in giving you his abundant and eternal everlasting life. Again, the cross then becomes to you the measure of the Lord in giving you his abundant and eternal everlasting life. Flowing then through you without measure will be these living waters, the fruit of the tree of life, and the abundance of the life of Jesus without measure through your very person. He is coming, and he will come, and it will be to those who have been faithful to this cross. May the Lord hasten this in his time. To be continued, Kenneth B. Fisher.